So, good morning. Welcome back to the Mawa Dissing Show. I'm Shirley Nordrum.
And I'm Nicole Bukinage.
And today we're up here in Red Lake visiting with Wesley May in the new Wesley May Studios. Good morning.
Well, good morning there.
So this is our show is about going around and visiting with different artists. And as we were putting the show together, we suddenly went, oh, you know, there's more than just a painting artist. There's art in life. So we've really been doing a variety of interviews with people from corn growers to, you know, some martial arts. And, you know, we put our list together and you were one of the people that, you know, rose to the top. I really appreciate your art and gotten to know you a little bit through events and things like that. So appreciate you taking the time to visit with us today. So you want to give us a little bit of your story of how you got inspired to be an artist and what you're doing today? Or
that one kind of got me off guard. Not really off guard. I don't know. It was Wesley May. I'm founder of Wesley May Arts. We're, all we do is we're creating a movement of helping others in a positive light, not only in what everything that we do with art, but what we do with other people and how we move forward with everything and how we're helping others to empower them, to show them that they can do it too. Because I'd like other people to go further than I've ever dreamed about, and with art and with the business part of what we're doing, it just embodies like all aspects of the way we're living. That's what Wesley May Arts is really doing.
That's what your name is doing. You're a very positive person. I've seen you at a lot of events with youth, encouraging them to, you know, paint. You start a painting out, and then they're doing it, and I've watched you, and you're, everything you do is just positive. It's just positive, positive, positive. That's amazing thing for someone to do for a community. Nicole, how long have you been an artist?
I've been an artist for about 20 years.
No, older? No.
I don't know if I should say that out loud. No, but I've been doing it since I was a little bitty guy, since I was about 5-6 years old. I used to watch my uncles draw and paint and stuff. So then I just started picking up, watching what they were doing what they were doing, and I just started off on my own little journey and went out and doing my own thing. And when it come from that, it just came from, well, how was it better? As I have all of these different aspects of what art was and what it took to be an artist. First, I thought, well, you got to go to school and got to have all these degrees so that you can get your name recognized. And when I went that route, it didn't work. I didn't like it. It was not. They were trying to get me to paint like someone else and do other people's stuff. And I just, how was that expressing myself? So then I went through the shows and I started thinking, well, if I win all these awards, I'm gonna get recognized, and that didn't work either. I win awards, win best of shows. It wasn't really for me, or it wasn't for people, for others. So now what I do, I go to these shows and events, but I'm not really going to place. I'm not going to do anything. My main thing is to help other people, to show them that they're artists too, and everything that they do in life is art. The way we do things is art. Anything that we do that we love is art. So when I go through them, and when I see someone standing at one of my paintings and crying or talking about how much deeply that painting has affected them, that's better than any award I can get ever. So and that every time I go through that and I get to share the story with them and they can feel it, and then we're sharing each other, we're actually connected through that painting, and we can just talk about anything. A lot of people get very personal with what they see, and they tell me all of this deep stuff about themselves, and how what it gets to is how they got through it and how that painting expresses how they got through whatever it was they were struggling with.
That's cool. Somebody bought my daughter one of your shirts and it had one of your eagle prints on there, and when they had symbolized her Indian name and when I brought it home, I was really checking it out, and I was kind of inspecting it whole. But I noticed the beadwork up at the collar, mm-hmm. And that seems to be your signature little deal, huh?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, we put that on there so that it's the four colors. Because when you think about, like, four colors or the medicine wheel, it's not only just in depth of just the four races, but also four parts of being, the spiritual, mental, physical, and emotional parts. So when you put that right above your heart, it's giving a significant passage there, so to speak, of a connection with the Creator, because it's right above the heart, and it's through all nations and through all parts of being that mm-hmm. we're connected like that.
That's cool. That's deep. That kind of says a lot about somebody who, the way they view their art too, you know, and how much they really put into it. That's mm-hmm. cool.
A lot of artists, I think all artists are like that. I was visiting with some folks, trying to get them to come up and partake in that. They had the Red Lake Economic Summit up here, and they had a focus on art, like becoming an artist and how to market your art. I was trying to speak to some artists about coming up here. I was asked to do that, and some of them were like, well, I like the way I do it. You know, right now I'm happy with the way I do that. And one of the people said, I don't want to market my art that way yet, because right now I want to know who buys my art. And they want that connection, you know?
Yeah, that was through with First People's Fund. They're a really, really good group. Yeah, I went through about three of their classes, and I'm training. I'm a trainer for them. I'll be a trainer for them soon. Well, what they're really doing is they want to show people what it is that they're really doing. You see, when I learned how to paint and draw and stuff, I just did it. I didn't know nothing about any of the techniques or anything. So when I went back to school for art, they showed me what it was that I was doing, so that I could talk about the way I was using my brushes, which brushes I was using, what paint, what colors, and all of that. So then I learned what it was that I was doing, so I wasn't just standing there talking, oh, I just go like this, you know? Is that even, no, is that explaining anything? Is that knowing what I'm doing, really?
No.
So when I can say, yeah, well, I take this brush and I go like this, you know, it's a whole different story.
Exactly.
So when what First People's Fund comes around and does is they show people what it actually is that they're doing from their heart with their art. So that it'll be like, when I talk about how deep my stories are with my paintings, I can understand them better because it's coming right from the heart. My values and what values I put in it each time I use that brush. When I talk about using my brushes, I'll rub it on people's faces and I'll be like, this is how you touch the brush to the canvas. Because, you know, when the way you pet a dog or a cat, you don't do,
you know,
with a painting either. So when you just barely just touch it and just stroke it with love, it comes out beautiful, and each stroke shows how much you care and what you're putting into it.
That's awesome.
And that's what the value-driven, that what it is?
Yep.
When you're with your art and you understand them seven teachings, the love, trust, honesty, respect, and courage, when you're doing all of them in that one brushstroke, and you're walking your talk, talking your walk, and then when you're sharing it, you're not rushing anybody to do, well, okay, come do this. No, I'm like, hey, you want to do this? There's a whole difference in that wanting and having to do something.
I'm glad that you are the, like an instructor or gone through the train to trainer, because, then that opportunity is right here in our communities locally mm-hmm. for people that may have missed that or may not have understood what that was and didn't go to that, because you're right here, here to help people. And I watched you with the kids at we had a culture camp, and you were painting with them, and you were talking about some of that there,
yeah,
with them, and making a beautiful painting that you gave to an elder at the end. And I heard you telling her what you guys were doing with that painting, and that story behind the art it's so much more deeper when you can hear someone tell the story behind the art, and not just walk through quickly and look at the art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fun. It's always fun.
Are you planning on doing some of that here? We're standing in your brand new studio. There might be a bit of echo-ness on the interview here, Mom, because you're just getting it going. You want to tell us a little bit about your new studio?
Well, what we'll be doing here is we'll be printing off the Weston May Arts clothing line. That's basically what we're going to start out doing, so that we can learn our equipment, know our equipment, and all of that. But also we'll have a showroom. And then on the side, we'll have like my little studio where the people can come in and see me paint with me and create something, stuff with me. Then I'll have my little side spot where I'll do my paintings, where I do the really deep, heartfelt stuff that makes me cry, that makes me happy. stuff that just explodes in me that I can feel. That way, then they come together. It'll all come together, and it's all those circle inside of the square. But it comes a lot deeper, because what we're doing with this clothing line is what I want to create a, I want to stimulate the economy in Red Lake.
Yep.
And what we're going to do here is eventually this is just the first building. We got two more buildings we're putting up out here in the next year. Because once we start printing these shirts off, and once we learn our equipment, we've already got deals with casinos and across Minnesota to start printing their stuff, so that we can use a made in Native America, original made in Native America tag on them. So this will be made in Red Lake. So what we'll do is we're going to hire pretty close to 50 to 100 Red Lake band members. This is just all what we're doing now. What I'm doing is I want to empower them. I want to show them how to live a good life so that they can handle what's about to come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we're going to have all these jobs making t-shirts, making hoodies, all of this all lined up here. But first we want to show them how to be able to handle it, be able to want to do better for themselves. And when people want to do something better for themselves, they'll want to do better for their family, want to do better for the community. Because right now we got a lot of people that are talking about, you know, I have to go to work, I have to take care of my family, I have to pay my bills. You know, them are things people should want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that they can be happy living their life. So we just want to go through and just show people that it is that easy and it is that simple to just do it.
That's awesome.
That's powerful, because, you know, when we talk about all these things that go on in Indian country, one of the biggest answers to them is that we own things and within our own communities, that we're hiring our own people. You know what I mean? That it's all invested right here in the community, and you're starting that. You know, that's I'm excited to see how much of an impact it makes. You know, in 1 year, 5 years, and 10 years, that's big. That's huge. We're always talking about those things, like in Leech too. We're always talking, oh, we have to own businesses, own a manufacturing. We have to make those things right here, because then that's, you know what I mean, that's where all the power is. You know, and governmental structures, they want to own what's being made.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're doing here. That's huge, man. That's big.
It's community driven, and that's one thing I've noticed about you. I've always seen you creating art with other people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so cool, because a lot of artists, you know, they're the individual artists, but you did a turtle. Yeah, like a turtle mural or something like that was going to go up in Bemidji.
Oh, yeah, that's still coming, too. I
did that with people. Other people came, and you were sharing them with them. And even at the powwows, when you set up, bam, you throw up a canvas, and you start, like, come over here and be part of this painting, and you're adding everybody into it. I've never seen another artist do that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into them. Like the big mural in Bemidji, like the one down on the water plant. What a lot of people don't know was that there was a lot of talk about how much it cost and all of that stuff, but they don't realize how much it cost me to do it too. So when we did that, I had a lot of the homeless people that would walk by. They would come by and they would come help me. They would come put their hands on her. They would come paint on her. So by using them and bringing them in with it, I was helping them along. You know, whatever they needed, when they need stuff, I'd help them. I'd get them food. I'd get them whatever they need. Really, real stuff, socks, all of that stuff. So what we're doing now is it's just helping me off, because that's my base. Because if we're not taking care of them, you know, someone's got to help them along. So we're doing a lot of another homeless shelter in Bemidji. It's a lot. I don't know. I wasn't really versed on what was really going on there, but I know that it was just to help other people that can't get in other shelters. But that's what, so it's all coming through that. And that's how that big mural worked all in the play, worked in the play and all of this stuff. Because we got to take care of our people first in order to get anywhere further than where we want to go.
Exactly. That's a powerful story that you included those people that other people forget about, or that they want to complain that it cost something. That's just, to me, ridiculous to complain about that. And when you gave those people the gift of being part of something that's so beautiful, and everybody driving by, you know, seeing that. And personally, that meant a lot to me to see your art on that, because my brother Richard, who's gone now, was the foreman on the ironwork on that.
On that building.
So, and he was an artist, and I don't know, it's just, it means something to me that that's there on that building that he helped create.
Mm-hmm. And it comes to the raising awareness of voices that are rarely heard. It took me a long time. I really sat and thought about that. Think about raising awareness of the voices that are rarely heard. When you think about that, well, how do you think about it, Nicole?
About the painting?
About raising voices that are rarely heard.
What I think about is hope. Is hope. And, you know, a lot of people are hopeless. And so, you giving that guy a hot meal and a pair of socks, you know what I mean? You gave him hope for that day. You know what I mean? And so, in order to have hope, you have to trust. And so when I think about voices that aren't heard, it's because they don't trust people enough to have that hope. You know what I mean? And so sometimes that's all we have as Indigenous people. You know what I mean? We have too many people just barely making it through the day, trying to put their kids to bed and get up for school the next morning and do it all over again. You know what I mean? And those are the voices that I feel like aren't heard. It's that single mom over there who's struggling. Mm-hmm. It's that dad over there who's trying to raise his babies and work and do all these things. And so there's too many voices that aren't heard.
I think those voices are not heard. And there's a lot of voices, not just human voices, that are not heard.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are so busy going about their lives and they don't. I think love is missing, love for creation, and I think respect is missing, because I see a lot of people that don't, they don't respect each other enough to even smile and have a conversation with that homeless person that walks by.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I took a little walk down on the, I don't know, they call them the Indian trails down there.
Oh, yeah.
They blocked them all off so you can't get down there, and I just kind of stumbled my way down the bank, and I was walking down there, and there was some folks down there, homeless folks down there, and I started talking to them, and we sat down and had a conversation, and I was happy all day because, I don't know, just because I got the honor to sit down and visit with them and share a conversation that day. It was really cool.
Imagine what you did for them. They are probably really happy that someone came to see them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what it all comes down to with this art. Is you want to bring other people up, raising, you know, what do we rise by lifting others?
Mm-hmm.
So when we're looking around here, when we're looking at I can sit and talk about all the problems up here. What good is that going to do?
Nothing.
I can go and say I'm against drinking, I'm against this, but I'm not. You know, that's their choice to do whatever they want to do. I'm not here to change anybody else. What I am is, I'm here to do is just be an example that not that it has to have any effect on how we live our life. You know, if we're happy doing that, then fine, that's them. You know, but I'm happy doing what I'm doing by making other people smile while believing in themselves and taking firm, confident steps, knowing that the Creator's got us. You know, so what I do up here is I'm just for what I'm doing. I'm not against anybody else's lifestyle or what they're doing. I'm just for what I'm doing. I'm for these youth. I'm for lifting them up. I'm for bringing them forth to take over when I'm gone from here.
That's cool. That's the way that Ojibwe people think, you know. And we always talk about that with like the elders back at home, is how Ojibwe people are very much proactive people. In the past 50 to 100 years, we've been reacting to things. We've been reacting to those young men out there, you know, being removed from who they truly are as Ojibwe men, not hunting. They don't know how to do those types of things, but they know how to go hold a gun, or they know how to weigh up some weed, or you know what I mean, and those types of things. And so how do we prevent things like that? These things like this that are going on is how we prevent them, you know, and who knows, there might be a young man who we might prevent from living that lifestyle, you know what I mean? That's proactive. That's the reason we don't have words like consequence in the Ojibwe language, because we never, you know what I mean? We never thought about that.
I was learning from my mistakes.
Exactly, and we always like, well, if this is going to happen, we're going to do this. We had plan A, B, C, D, you know what I mean? We had it.
There wasn't no stopping.
We had it figured out.
You know, that's cool. Why I do what I do. I, I, I mean, I used to be drink, sell drugs, do all that, get high, all that kind of stuff. And what I noticed is a lot of people follow and when they see someone driving nice cars, having nice clothes, having nice things, they'll follow that person. So what I do now is, you see my truck, I got a nice truck, big rims, all of that stuff, and that's what the kids look up to.
Mm-hmm.
And when they see me doing it, they say, oh, dang, man, you got to sell drugs to have a nice car. You don't got to sell drugs. You got to, you know, he's just doing his thing, doing something positive, and look at what how he's doing it. So that's the basic thing why I use what I do.
Mm-hmm. That's cool, man.
Yep, they use those words like role model and leading by example, but it's, you know, my buddy and I were talking about that one day, and he said, it's not all that complicated. It's just like you see somebody living a good life or doing something, and you know they want to do that too. And I always carry a cloth bag with my stuff in it. And if I go to a grocery store, it gets in the cloth bag. You know, I don't like the plastic stuff. And he said, it's as simple as seeing you always carrying your red bag around, and so everybody's like, oh, I want to carry a red bag too, because it's just that simple.
After they start thinking about what it's really doing,
mm-hmm.
what's going on with the bigger picture, then that little bitty step. Can we take that for a little walk?
Yeah.
I'll show you what this is. This is what's going on in this building, in the printing, and all of this, in the art, what we're doing here. This is only part of it. The main part we got going on is around this corner here. We tore this fence down here. There was a big fence out here with barbed wire and all of that.
Uh-huh.
So with this fence, what I feel came down was that we've been tearing this fence down all along here, right? And right down here, this is where our sweat lodge is going to be.
Oh, okay.
We're going to have our sweat lodge, a couple teaching lodges. Then there's like a natural ridge and a sound break there.
Uh-huh.
We're going to put a playground over there. And then a park going up to the road. So we're using all of this land out here.
Oh, wow.
So this is where we're going to get our workers from. This is where we're going to show people what we're doing. And then once, when they find out, when they want to do better for themselves, want to do better for their family, then they want to do better for the community, when they get to that stage through these lodges, be like, hey, you want a job? We got jobs right here. What can you do? What can you bring to the table? And then they'll know by knowing themselves.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So that's what we're doing here. What we did was, the main issue that was coming up was that the kids were stealing stuff and all of that and breaking stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as you can see, they haven't really done anything up here.
No.
You know, because they're always by here and we're always talking with them. Well, what they were doing was they were stealing scrap wood, right?
Uh-huh.
What they were stealing the scrap wood for was to rebuild that bridge down there.
Because
there was you couldn't even walk across it. And what happened was, when I found out that they were stealing that the boards,
uh-huh.
what I did was had them cut them to that size so that they could find the boards and they would fit right on there. So they were coming up, getting them, and going down there. We went and screwed them all in there because they were just nailed in and they were falling off. We went and fixed it so that they could make it across.
That's I don't know, that's a cool story, because they weren't stealing, really. I mean, if it was scrap, they were trying to help themselves to get over to the other side. And somebody chooses to call it stealing, and you chose to see it like, hey, they just want to get to the other side. I'm going to help them get to the other side. That's there's a powerful lesson in that. Beautiful place here.
Some of the lodges going down there.
Yeah, right down here. We'll have a couple, and we'll have some teaching lodges or stuff up on the side over here.
Oh, cool.
Mowed it all down on Saturday. Been waiting all summer to put this together, but I've been tied up painting and mudding and stuff in there. And I'm like, man, but you see, the way I see this all working out together is that the bigger this grows down here, more it's going to grow and be prosperous up here, because we're investing everything into the people.
Living the dream out here.
You know,
it's cool, man.
And it's kind of symbolic, because this used to be the old jail where they locked people up. And I felt by taking this down, we were setting everybody free.
That explains the barbed wire fence.
Yep.
There's a lot of deep story here.
Nice work, brother.
I really, really appreciate you taking the time to share your story. I didn't realize it was quite this deep. I'm really feeling something in my heart right now with your vision.
Oh, I got it. I don't know. I got another. My vision is really deep. What we're really here to do is my goal, my personal goals for this is I want to make $100 million in the next 10 years. All right, that's my slingshot goal. That's where I'm going, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now after we get to the $100 million, then I'm gonna give it away. We're gonna give it to the homeless shelters, the battered women shelters, all of these programs that they have a slogan saying they're there to help people, but yet when they get money from the government, they can only help these people, or
yep.
They can only help them people. They're not really helping people. They're only going through all this. So that's what this pool of money is going to create. So they need another worker over here. They need another worker at this place. Bam, we have the funding for them. We can offer them the money.
That's incredible.
So when we back that up from that 10 years, now we got it. Because in order, can't just say, oh, yeah, I'm going to go make $100 million, right? And well, to back that up, where we're at right now is we got our shop. We're printing the Wesley Mayard's clothing line. We got their website up and ready to roll. We got everything ready to go from this point. So when we start taking our next steps with that building and we start making the T-shirts, making the hoodies, and I hired a 50 to 100 Red Lake members to do this. All right, now when you think about getting to that level, we're going to be open the government contracts automatically. Bam,
mm-hmm.
they're going to buy 100 to 200,000 shirts a year. Just because we're native-owned business.
Okay.
Then we got our own natives that are going to support having our own native-made product. So,
okay.
Bam, we got all of that coming up. And that's going to skyrocket us way past $100 million, no problem.
Yep.
Now, that's just up in the next 5 years. So then when we'll learn all of our stuff and our steps to get to that point to start giving the money away.
That is a beautiful dream. I can't wait for that one to come true. That's the thing I see with these programs is these government programs and are so silly. Like, I was looking at this one. They were just something as simple as taking kids to a pumpkin patch, and the kids had to have like 3 out of 5 risks to having diabetes before they could be served by that,
yeah.
And go to the pumpkin patch and have fun. I'm like, what the heck is that? You know, what if they let all the kids go to the
right.
pumpkin
yeah.
patch and have fun? What, this is crazy. This is never gonna work. This is like a broken system. This dream is, you know, this is going to work. This is going to do it. Lifting yourself and your community up.
It's fun. Fun.
That's life is fun.
I look forward to going to work.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you got to run and you're a busy guy. Just really, really appreciate it, Miigwech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for coming up, taking your time out, coming all the way up.
It's awesome. It's an honor.
This program has been funded by the Legacy Art, Culture, and Heritage Fund of Minnesota.